The first lesson is from Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, has appeared to me saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt, and I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from the Gospel of John, beginning at chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's hand, he has made him known.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We stand, let's pray. Father, speak to us through your word. Show us your Son, Jesus. May we listen to him. May we see him. And as we behold him, may we become more and more like him. We pray this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. So I've said in the opening of the service, we are starting a new sermon series called Jesus According to John. So for the summer, we will be looking at these 10 different depictions of who Jesus is according to the evangelist. Today, we'll be looking at Jesus as the Word of God. The Word of God. So the concept of Word is very abstract. Now, when you think about Word, you probably spelled it out in your head with English letters. Maybe you imagined a word printed on a page. Maybe you pictured a big book, pictured an open Bible. I Googled the Word of God and all the images for all open Bibles. Now, words are basic to how we relate, to how we communicate. Words are the vessels. These are the ships that carry the freight of our personality. They convey the substance of our being. Words are the currency in the economy of interpersonal relationships. Now, when someone is interested in you, they want to get to know you. And when they want to get to know you, they don't want an MRI scan of your brain or an ECG graph of your heart or your DNA genome map. I mean, all of those can say a lot about you, but they're useless to someone who wants to get to know you. So this someone musters up the courage to ask you out for coffee, for drinks after work. They'd like to chat. They'd like for you to tell them about who you are. They want to hear from you. They want to spend time with you. They want to know your thoughts. They want to hear words that are personal to you. Words are how you got to know your spouse, how you got to know your best friend, how you got to know your colleague. Words are how you fell in love. Words are how you made friends. Words reveal the substance and character of the person you are trying to get to know. And in the same way, God's word reflects who God is. God's thoughts, his secret thoughts, his inner being are disclosed and understood when God speaks, when he opens his mouth, as it were. Now in our gospel, John depicts Jesus Christ as God's thoughts spoken out loud. Jesus is God's self disclosed and exposed to us, to our world. God speaks his word in order to be known. God speaks his word to be in relationship. God shares himself, discloses himself by speaking. And he spoke finally to us in his son Jesus Christ, the word of God. Now we will look at four vignettes that John develops for us about the word. So this first vignette is that the word is divine. The word is divine. Second, the word is power. It's power. Thirdly, the word is light. Lastly, the word is life. Divine, power, life, and light. Now we'll look at the first two briefly, and we will linger the last two later on. So first, the word is divine. Now look with me in verse 1. John writes that the word was in the beginning, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So immediately John portrays the word as existing since the start, but that he's also distinct from God, yet also God. The word was since time began, and the word is God, yet distinct from God, that he can be also with, in relationship with God. That's a bit confusing now. How that is, no one has fully understood. Millennia have passed, and that theological point is still a mystery. And I'm neither going to unpack that fully or explain it at all. But one helpful way to think of it, and it is not ever going to be a perfect solution to that, is that our words are always distinct from us, yet they are also us. Now let me explain. Now, for example, right now you are hearing my words. They're audible. The sounds you hear, they're not me per se. They're the vibrations in the air hitting your eardrums right now. And each vibration has its own distinct objective existence. I'm also being recorded right now, and there's an audio file being generated as I speak. That audio file is not me. It's distinct from me. But when you go on the website sometime this week and listen to the audio, you will be hearing me as a recording. Right now, you're hearing me as my words. They are my words, and they reflect my thoughts and who I am. If you believe my words, you're believing me. If you don't believe my words, you're also not believing in me. My words are distinct from me, yet they are me. Hope you were following with that. The analogy only goes so far. Now, in the same way, in a much transcendent way, God's word is distinct from God, yet his word is also God himself. The word is with God, and the word is God. The word is divine. That's the first one. The second vignette, the word is power. It's power. Now, many of us here may have heard before that the Greek word that John used for word is the Greek word for logos. Logos. That's where we get the word logic from. Now, we in the modern West associate logos with reason, with rationality, with human intellect, with the mind. But for the ancient Hebrews and Greeks, logos meant something much more than that. John depicting Jesus as the Logos is his way of saying that Jesus is the essential and governing principle of all reality. Jesus is the essential and governing principle of all reality. John looks back at the first book of the Bible, when God spoke everything into being. See, God said the word, and it happened. For the ancient people, Logos has creative and imaginative power to craft entire universes. And we experience this in no small way, in fact, in real life. See, our words can make or break things. A good word, spoken at the right time in the right way, is powerful. An encouragement, a compliment, an apology, an admission of wrong, a prophetic word. A good word can inspire, can create hope, can revive new life in someone. Words can also destroy. A lie, an insult, slander, gossip. Unjust words do violence. They deflate and oppress. They murder inner life and rob someone of hope, joy, freedom, peace. Words have cosmic potential. They're like uranium cores. They can either be put inside a nuclear reactor and make usable energy, or you can put them inside an atomic bomb and blow it up. We being made in the likeness of God, we wield this God-like privilege and responsibility of words. We have responsibility with words, a privilege, a gift of words. Words to build, words to destroy, words to give life, words to take it away. Words have power. In verse 3, all things were made through Jesus. And without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is the word through whom the universe, the entire cosmos was built. Everything is because of Jesus. Everything finds their place in space because of Jesus. Everything makes sense because of Jesus. See, Jesus is the power of God's word that glues everything in place, that keeps everything from falling off and flying apart. Jesus is why everything is. Jesus is how everything is. The word is power. Now the last two vignettes, the word being life and light, they're interrelated. They are a one package deal. Life and light are two of the most significant symbols in John's gospel. Now in verse 4 we read that in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Again, these are very abstract religious language, but what does life and light mean? Again, John looks back to the opening of the Bible. In Genesis, God spoke. God spoke and there was light. God spoke and there was life. Light and life are Bible pictures of a new beginning, images of a new creation. So in John's gospel, he's saying that there is another beginning here. There's another creation, a new chapter opening up with Jesus Christ. And just like how everything began with God speaking light and life to existence, something new has happened. Something new is happening when the Word came into our world. In verse 14, we read, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now this sentence, I would argue, is the crux, it's the hinge point of John's opening chapter, verse 14. See, the Word who was always invisible, intangible, spirit, has become visible, tangible, touchable, human. We can see God's word. We can touch God's word. We can relate to God's word. We can be friends with him. And this Jesus came bursting, overflowing with grace and truth. Grace and truth. Again, religious words that have so much baggage and meaning. What is John saying here? What he's saying is that the life and light of God's word are experienced as grace and truth that came with Jesus Christ. That is to say, light has to do with truth, and life has to do with grace. Light is to truth, life is to grace. What does light have to do with truth? Light reveals. Light shows us things, it unveils things, it makes clear what is real, what is in front of us. Because without light, you cannot see, you cannot know, you cannot perceive or appreciate anything. Light has everything to do with truth, with reality. John contrasts light to darkness, and darkness means not knowing and understanding what is true, what is good, what is real, especially about God and about the world that he made. Now imagine your spouse or your very good friend suddenly not talking to you. You perceive that they're angry with you or that they're disappointed with you, and they give you the silent treatment. Now you wonder, what did I do wrong? What happened? What happened in the past? And now because you still care for them, you don't like how things are. You hope they start talking to you again. You want to make things right. You think it's your fault, maybe. So you want to make amends. You want the relationship you had before all of this. But they won't talk to you. And so we say, what's been happening there? We say idiomatically that you're left in the dark. You've been left in the dark. You don't know what's happening. They won't talk to you. You want to know what's going on. There is no relationship. You're left in darkness, so to speak. In the analogy, our world is in darkness. Not because God didn't speak to us or is angry with us and refuses to talk. Our world is in darkness because we chose to stay in the darkness. We ran away from God. We chose not to speak to him. Our relationship with him is broken. Our sin separated us from him, and we remain in the dark so long as we're not reconciled to God. But God cares about us. He longs to speak to us. He wants a relationship with us. And then God finally spoke to us in his word, in the human Jesus, bringing with him truth and light that brightens our darkness to chase it far away. And this is to say that Jesus coming with truth and light is his showing us that what's really going on. What's really going on behind the curtains? The word coming in flesh is Jesus telling us that things are not good as they are right now. The word coming in flesh is Jesus breaking the news to us that there is a deeper problem. There's an inner cancer in our hearts to the symptoms of wrong, of evil, of injustice in our lives. The word coming in flesh is Jesus demonstrating to us what true human living is, how our relationships and societies should be, should look like. The word coming in flesh is Jesus unveiling our eyes to the reality of God's kingdom, of this divine government on earth, that it is more real, it's more solid than the pew you're sitting on. He's uncovering that. He's making it real for us. There is a bigger reality than what we're experiencing right now. It's more real and more solid than the pew you're sitting on. That we need to be forgiven. That we need to be reconciled to God. That we need to repent of sin. That there is a reality of a spiritual war around us and in us. That this is the only victory that he can win for us. And to the final and permanent makeover of our world when he comes back. That's what John meant by saying that the word is light to all people, having come to us full of truth, full of reality. Jesus came so solid and substantial of humanity and divinity. He's wanting to reveal all this. He's breaking the news to us. We are no longer left in the dark. We don't have to stay there. Come to the light. Finally, our last vignette, the word is life. Now John paired light with truth. He paired life with grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor towards us. If I asked to borrow your car for this long weekend, and then the next day on the highway, I totaled it. I survived. And I call you up, say, I'm so sorry, I'm okay, but I need to tell you, I really, really owe you big time here. But for whatever insane reason, you forgive me and said, it's all good. You don't have to pay me anything. Things are all fine here. By extending that to me, you are showing to me grace. That's an absolutely incredible and absolutely bizarre for you to forgive me for totaling your car and then to not ask for what I legitimately owe you. That is your showing favor to me that I do not deserve. Now, what is the favor? What is the grace that God showed us that we do not deserve? That grace is life. Life. By life, John didn't just mean having breath, a beating heart, or biological function. By life, John meant new birth. We read in verse 12, which isn't printed in your bulletin, that to all who received the word, those who believed in his name, God gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of a parent, but of God. The word as life, the grace that came with Jesus, is the new birth of humanity. It is human beings becoming God's children, being adopted into God's family. But what does that even mean? What's being a child of God look like? For one thing, in ancient times, children ended up doing what their fathers did. They grew up to learn and inherit their father's trade. You did what dad did. That's what had happened in the ancient times. Apprenticeship was part and parcel of the ancient family dynamics. The father would pass on to their child his wisdom, his knowledge, his expertise, his equipment of the trade. Now Jesus, as God's son, has every quality, wisdom, perfection, character, and expertise that his father has. And he showed us. Jesus showed us his human life and how to be a child of God. Not only did Jesus give us the grace to be children of God, but he also gave us the grace to become children of God. I mean, that's to say that to behave as God, to resemble God, to embody who our Father is. We start to become like God's children. We start to resemble who God is. We begin to show Jesus qualities. We begin to show Father qualities. You know, when a young person reaches puberty and you start to see their physical resemblance to either or both of their parents that time, their voice changes, their face, their stature changes, features start to show and to stay. You know, they're growing up. And in a similar way, when we are newly born as God's children, we also grow up to be like God. If you have new life, you should spiritually mature to grow up to a full and perfect stature of Jesus. You start to resemble Jesus. You start to have features similar to Jesus. That's what growing up means. With life, there's growth. And we have new life because of the grace that Jesus gave us, the Word. Now, God did not leave us in the dark. God spoke up, gave us his word. The word so close and personal to him that he was giving pretty much himself to us. That word so close to us is as close as the tongue inside your mouth, the heart beating in your chest. His word, that word came divine and powerful, creative word that made everything. It's also now creating a universe in you, a kingdom in you. He's creating a culture of Jesus-like features in you, in your heart, from the inside out. He came with life and light. He came bursting with grace and truth, and that's what he's wanting to do in each one of us, each one of us. We want to be bursting, overflowing with grace, with truth. People who are in tune with reality. People who are giving life, who are presenting life, that life of adoption into God's family. That's the privilege that we have. This is what God coming in the flesh, the Word of God in us, for us. This is what implicates us. We're the people of the Word now. To give grace, to give truth, to speak of truth, to speak into reality, to create life and worlds, not to destroy it, not to lie, not to be arrogant, not to be destructive. And that word gave us the right to become God's children. And so we grow up together to be just like our Father, to be just like Jesus. For from his fullness, We have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, He has made Jesus known. Amen.
You've just listened to a podcast from Little Trinity Church in Toronto. Please check out our website at www.littletrinity.org to find out more about our ministries and services.